The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Now more than ever, Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price, you want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's, we help, you save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee.
Join me and follow the podcast Conspiracy Theories, where we explore what's really going on behind the official narrative. Like, what if the Loch Ness Monster isn't a monster at all, but an elephant? What do the richest 1% know that we don't? And why are they building all those bunkers? And really, what the heck is going on with the Denver airport? Join me every week to see just how high up this goes on the Spotify podcast, Conspiracy Theories. Listen on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, before we get to this week's show, I want to let you know on October 5th, I am going to be at the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree. Come on out and meet me. And then on October 6th, we are doing an advanced screening for the movie The Sasquologist. You are going to have an opportunity to see this movie first before anybody else and also have a Q&A session with the cinematographers. If you want tickets to this event, go ahead and check out the link in the description below.
Merkle Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. But the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow this head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over, and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to The Confessionals Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Merkel. Thanks for being here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either works for me, just get a hold of me. Also, go ahead and check out theconfessionalspodcast.com/join if you want to get that extra content on a weekly basis. We also have the same exact YouTube content, or I should say member content on YouTube for anybody who wants to be a member on YouTube. It's the same content, both locations, just two different landing spots for those who want to be on YouTube exclusively. Check out merkmerch.com for all your Merkle Media apparel needs, like I'm wearing right now. Always on the hunt. I wore this on purpose today because of the topic of conversation that we are having. Go ahead, check it out. merkmerch.com and merklefilms.com for all your documentary needs. Everything that we've ever done is on there for streaming on demand. So go ahead, check it out. merklefilms.com, most recent documentary, Sasquatch and the Missing Man, is a heater hit. So go ahead and check it out. And last but not least, starting next week on October 5th, We are going to Ohio for the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree, hosted by Cryptids of the Corn. Justin and the guys have invited me up there. So if you're in the area in Ohio and you want to get tickets to that event and come hang out, come on out to the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree. All right. Today we have some incredible guests here in studio. We have a full table. The Cryptid Warfare crew, or actually it's the Cryptid Warfare Operations, right? Or should we go with the podcast first? We'll go with the, you can talk now. It's, we're
oh, we get to go.
Yeah, we're done with it. I'm done with the intro. I told everybody that they had to be quiet while I did that whole spiel. So
what was funny is when you're doing the intro, I was like, is he reading, dude? He's like doing
great. Dude, it was on point. Yeah.
It was on focus.
Well, I mean, it's like, what, almost 700 episodes? So
yeah, well, it's safe. You don't get it now. Come on.
I don't. it seems like when I'm doing it in front of people, I hit it better. But when I'm doing it by myself, I'm like, 10th, 15th, 20th time. It got to the point where I was like, Jack, just go find something else to do. I'll just record this on my own until it gets done, and then I'll send it to you. But no, it's been a wild ride for me over here. But for you guys, Cryptid Warfare started out as a podcast first and then went to the operations?
No, first off, it was actually operations first, and that's like our bread and butter is being out in the field. And
really?
Stuff. And then we decided to do a podcast.
That's awesome, man. So let's go around the table and introduce ourselves. Everybody say their name. I teased everybody because I said I forget people's names, so I'm going to need you to introduce yourself so I remember. But seriously, let's do it so they hear your voices along with the name.
My name is T, part of the Cryptid Warfare podcast and operations. Good friends of Andrew, our host, and are the creator of Cryptid Warfare. So I'm happy to be here and happy to be meeting you for the first time. It's fun.
Awesome. Stuff.
Yeah, I'm Jessica Jones. I started off as a tag along with Cryptid Warfare. I'm actually known as the Cryptid Huntress. You guys might have heard one of my shows or something occasionally, but I'm a Bigfoot and cryptid field researcher. I've been doing this since 2011. And like I said, I'm a tag along and having a good time. We go out and do some pretty awesome boots on the ground field research out there, all over the, pretty much where we've been, Tennessee and Alabama so far.
So before we move to him, tell people where they can find your stuff, that your show, your social, all that. Plug your stuff away. You should do that too if you want to do tea.
I don't even have one.
All right, don't worry about tea. Jessica, you're on.
Don't worry about you, bro.
Yeah, y'all can find me at thecryptidhuntress.com, and I have a YouTube channel that's The Cryptid Huntress.
Awesome. Awesome.
Thank you.
Drew.
Right on. You are a part of the team. So
I'm a part of the team.
She's part of the team.
I know. Guys. I was kidding.
Hey, guys. I'm Drewski. Drew. I run the Cryptid Warfare and Conspiracies podcast. Also do CW operations and survival. So, yeah, I'm glad to be here, brother.
Yeah. Thanks for coming out. This has been a long time coming. We met each other, what, 2 years ago now?
Yeah, something
about
like that.
Out in Paris. Tennessee, not France. I mean,
we were on an operation. We were on an op in Paris hunting the werewolf of Paris, the Paris werewolf.
Bisa je voudon.
Yeah, what she said. We were out there.
Dog man had a wee wee.
Geared up. No, but we met each other at a conference, and I think I asked you to come and do your art there because I didn't have any merch at the time. So I was like,
that's right.
I was like, can you come out and just, you can have my table and sell your art. So that's where we met each other. You're pretty good at tagging, man, and all that good stuff. You're a good artist. But so Cryptid Warfare Operations is the first thing you started. How did that whole thing come together? I mean, was it like an encounter, or was it an interest, a topical interest? I mean, you have a background in police, I believe, right?
Yeah, law enforcement, stuff like that.
Former military?
Stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah. And your crew of guys that have that background as well. So it's like a legit, like on the ground, like mercenaries for Bigfoot.
Hire.
Mercenaries for hire.
Wait, we get paid?
I wish.
What I'm trying to do with this operations team. I'm trying to build that up. But no, as far as that, like I said, I have like a law enforcement background and field craft and all that stuff too. So what it started out for me was back in Colorado, I used to go basically backpacking with my dad and stuff and out in the mountains a lot. And he teaches me a lot of survival and stuff. And then I really didn't give a hoot about cryptids, but I love monsters for sure. Predator, aliens, all that stuff really got me in that jive. And then reading about Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot, but it really didn't hit me until I was in law enforcement. So Just basically in a quick nutshell, in Colorado, I was a part of a SWAT team for the state of Colorado. And we used to do a lot of warrants, a lot of tracking, a lot of escaped convicts, high custody, VIP transport, stuff like that. So, yeah, we used to also train like a lot of people, like kind of like room clearing, stuff like that, range days, all that stuff. So it was just go, 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 go. What kind of got me into this Bigfoot stuff like that was when we went on a operations when we had to go get an escaped convict. So as we're tracking this guy in the middle of the Rocky Mountains, we're running a diamond formation team. You got your tracker in the front, you got your medic in the middle, and you got all your operators on the right side holding up weapons and stuff like that. So they dropped us off on one area, another team. All together is probably about a good like five different teams, different alphabet agencies, state of Colorado, Fed, stuff like that. So as we're tracking this guy, he's in the middle of the mountains. We have an idea on where he's at. And as we're walking our way towards him, this is about, I say it's almost hitting like dusk. So as we're going, got our nods on top, we're just walking and we're hearing two things pace us in the middle of the mountains. What the freak is that, dude? I'm not saying anything because I don't want to be the cuckoo guy. But I'm hearing it off my left because I'm on my left in the diamond formation like that, just scanning everything on my left. Got my guy on the right. He's like, hey, do me a favor. He's on comms. He's like, hey, let's just stop on three. Everyone just stop walking. Three, two, one, stop. And we stop. And we hear these two things on the both sides of us take two extra steps and they stop. And we're like, So we're trying to get a read on it. Nothing. We're not seeing anything, but we're hearing it. So we're like, all right. The guy on the tracking team, good old mountain boy, is like, don't worry about that. Let's just keep moving. We're like, what the freak? Don't worry about that. We need to know what's like, over what there. You know, we're like, whatever. So we just keep going. But as we're scanning, we have our weapons up towards the left, towards the right, towards the rear. We're just going. They finally catch the guy. We walk him on the way down. We get up there, hand him over. Go back to the precinct, state, turn our weapons in, do our report. And Thriller Alphabet Agency comes up and is like, hey, here's what you guys write. Da, 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 da. I thought you guys wanted us to write who, what, when, where, why, and how. And they're like, don't worry about that. Here's what you guys should write. Da, da, da. All right, whatever. So Captain's like, do it. All right, roger that. Read out the report. Didn't think anything of it. So I dove head first into what the freak is out there, right? So I started digging up on a mountain area called Wetmore, San Isabel, Pikes Peak, stuff like that. It just opened up the floodgates for me on cryptids, Bigfoot, Dogman, Skinwalkers, stuff like that. So that's how I got into head heels over it. And then how I got into the conspiracy part of it was when, this is back in 2012. Big old 2012, guys, when we all thought the world was going to end, right?
December 25th. Right? It was December 25th, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2012. Yeah.
I remember my dad said, yeah, he thought that ain't nothing. You know, the Aztecs just ran out of tablet is all it was. All right, cool. So we had to, this is when I was doing VP protection on the SWAT team. We had to escort a guy who was ahead of a certain thing to the Denver International Airport to meet the governor of Colorado. So we go there. I'm not driving. I'm just chilling on the left side. We're just chilling. We're basically just babysitters for hire, right? With weapons is how we are. So we get there.
That's what they thought about the Pennsylvania too.
Yeah, so we get there and we go on the back way. They let us in. I'm like, what the frick are we going, you know? And then all of a sudden we hit this tunnel and we just keep going. What is this? Just tunnels everywhere, vehicles moving everywhere.
Under the airport.
Okay.
Oh, do you see Lucifer?
Oh, yeah. We saw Lucifer. The big old horse with the red eyes. Yeah,
that's what?
Not, that's, not, yeah. That's not weird at all.
I'll show you after.
Yeah, you'll have to show me.
I'll show you after. Yeah, so that's basically in the front of the Denver International Airport. It was Lucifer, right? So we, you know, passed that, go underneath there. Just meandering, passing vehicles, stuff like that. And they got like these little totes and stuff driving by. So we end up at this dead end. These double doors open. Military police walk out, got the governor, stuff like that. We get out, escort them. They told us, you guys got to stay right here. Okay, we'll just chill out. Roger that. We'll just hang out. They let him in. They just take off to do whatever they need to do as a meeting. So we're standing there for like a good hour and a half, just chilling. So we're just shooting the crap with the MPs, right? Just talking to them. Talking about football, avalanche, Broncos, stuff like that, you know, weapons, all that whatnot. doors open again. I kind of peek my head in. I see a railway.
Aliens? No.
No.
Okay. Oh, man. Yeah, close
the door. Bye, guys. Yeah, illegal. No, I'm just joking. just joking. Guys, I can say that. My last name is, don't worry about it. But anyways, yeah. So, all I see is a railway, right? And then on the other side of that are boxes and stuff. And I'm just nonchalant. I'm like, hey, man, what the heck they had that on? And he's like, oh, man, they had this around here forever. You know, this is how we transport stuff without the public knowing. I was like, what is this? So the dude comes out from the meeting. He's pissed off. He's like, let's go. So we go, get in the vehicles, drive out, go back to CO Springs, drop him off, turn my gear in. I go home. So I start digging on some stuff. One of my buddies works for the DOD. He sent me a blueprint of 2009 of the railways underneath the United States. So the one that we saw underneath the Denver International Airport goes from there to NORAD, and from NORAD to Pueblo, Colorado, then from that to the Area 51, Nevada, all that stuff. It looks like a spider web, but that was just the blueprints of it. The tunnels they had, and they go, and it only shows half of the United States, and they keep going out towards Washington. So Dulce Base, stuff like that. I'll send you that picture.
Do you still have it?
I still got it.
Yes, definitely send it to us. You don't have to do it right now. I want you to focus in here. But
what was, real quick to wrap this up, what was the trip was after that in March 19th, 2013, okay, that person we escorted got murdered.
The governor?
Wait, no.
I thought you were escorting the governor.
No. We weren't escorting the governor. We're escorting a certain person to meet the governor.
Gotcha. Under the ground. Crazy.
Right. And he came out pissed off, all that. Well, a year or two later, about like a year and a half later, he got murdered after that. A big pursuit and stuff like that. They finally found the guy and they shot him down in Texas. So that's all I'm saying about that. Because I still got buddies who work there and stuff. So that's all I'm saying. But I will send you the blueprints and everything like that. So.
All right, so I have heard about the tunnel systems and the railways and stuff, and I've seen things online, and you know, I'm just like, how do they know? So you're saying the person that gave you the blueprints that you saw was from DOD?
Yes, he don't work there no more, but he does. He did at the time.
Wow.
Yeah, but this is just like a rough draft he found, like, here. This don't mean nothing, so.
Because it was old.
Old, yeah.
Wow. So do you think it's more like sophisticated at this point?
Oh, 100%, dude. Yeah. What was a trip though? Because at the same time I was there, I was actually coaching a high school soccer team, right? One of the kids that graduated, I caught up with, he was a part of the drilling team. He's like, I don't know why the freak we're drilling tunnels. Why the hell we need tunnels going through underneath Colorado? This is stupid. But I'm getting paid good.
Ask no questions.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
And it kind of like brought everything together. I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. There's way more to this than I thought.
Wow. So officially, you have been under the Denver airport.
10-4.
You've seen the tunnels. Mm-hmm. And it was because you were escorting
a certain person.
A high level security risk type person.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You're not lying to me.
Negative.
Right.
Oh, that's exciting. What do you guys think about this stuff? I mean, this is an old story for you.
Yeah. 2000, what was that? 2012?
Yeah.
13? Yeah, I was in high school, so I wasn't really doing cool stuff.
Young guys.
Yeah, I wasn't doing anything cool like that. Yeah, that's wild.
Wow. Man.
Yeah. No, I've been looking into Blucifer lately. Somebody gave me
that picture I sent you?
Yeah. No, somebody gave me that as a blind coordinate remote viewing target.
Yeah.
Actually, Arkeem Ra did. And so I did a show on that at Space Out Radio back then when I was on Space Out Radio. And it was pretty interesting. I mean, I was just at the Denver airport. I was told I was at the wrong Denver airport. Apparently, there's two because I was looking all over for like an Illuminati.
Oh, now we're talking about.
Did you see all those collages and stuff?
Yeah, like I was looking for them.
I have heard there's two. There's a big one and a small one. Most people come in through the smaller side or something.
Oh, yeah. Because at the Denver National Airport, you have your big one and then you got your satellite one right next to it.
Yeah. Well, I was at a big one, but I couldn't find, I was looking for a doorway to the underground tunnels of the Illuminati.
It's probably just an office door to just, you know, maintenance or something like
it's
that.
It's probably a Starbucks or something.
Yeah. You gotta pull the machine.
Give me the Frappuccino.
The Starbucks. Okay. The Starbucks down there. It's like the logo is like, oh, you don't have to the squint one eye to see it. It's like, oh no, it's really a Baphomet. It's right there. Baphomet. Right there.
Yeah.
The logo.
Yeah. Give me the Blucifer Frappuccino. Yeah. Ah, I got you. A couple of
those. So,
with that introduction to this world, right? So being paced in the woods, Denver International Airport, being underground and stuff, you kind of got into looking into the conspiracy side of things?
Yeah, that. And then in 2014 is when I moved from Colorado here to Tennessee. This when I put my, I guess like my 2 months in to quit, right? To move here. I had a meeting with one of my LTs and he was pissed because I was a part of a SWAT unit, and then they had a separate unit called like the Go to Hell team. So it's if crap hits the fan, you're paged up, and you and probably about 15 to 10 guys all over the state of Colorado get up, and you have to escort these certain people to underneath this if crap hits the fan.
Oh, that's a like
and
the
your
secured,
families,
like,
yes, and your families are good to go too. But you got to sign like an agreement and stuff like that.
And you were part of that?
Well, I was like a PTM member. It's like potential team member, a PTM guy. So I was kind of like going through like a trial period. And then I put my resignation in to leave. And my lieutenant was pissed. He's like, all that effing training down the tube. So I kind of left on a bad note.
Why'd you leave?
I guess we'll go there. It's going to testimony time, guys. No.
Yeah.
So basically, in a nutshell, my marriage was falling apart and my relationship with God was down the tube. So my job was my God. And then basically my wife left for a little while. She actually went here to Tennessee to stay with family.
Mm.
Well, she gave me the ultimatum like, hey, I need you just to think about what you want to do. And then when we come back, then you can make your decision. So God definitely got a hold of me on that. Mm. And then, you know, when she came back, I was like, let's make this work. Let's do this. I don't care, but I have to leave here in order for us to make this work. That way I can get my relationship with you right, my relationship with God right. And yeah, she's like, all right, well, we got options. We can go to Texas, Arkansas, or Tennessee. I'm like, let's check out Tennessee. So we went to Tennessee. My wife was already plugged into church. And this is how I get on the Bigfoot stuff. My wife was already plugged into a church at the time there. And she talked to a couple of people there about our situation. So they're praying for us and stuff like that. So when we got there, a guy at the head of the security team named Cameron, shout out to you, buddy. Love you, man. He was a Bigfoot researcher, hardcore, but he was kind of underground about it. Cause you know, people look at you funny back then in 2014, yeah. Like what?
Totally get it.
So it's basically, as soon as we got there, I was like, okay, God, what do you want me to do, man? Like, I'm all for it. I'll jump in head heels. You want me to like start playing guitar again on a worship team? I don't care. Just plug me in somewhere. So as soon as we walked in, my wife waved, a couple people waved. We got connected with the people and he comes up out of nowhere. He's like, hey, you're Andrew, right? I was like, yeah. He's like, cool. Wife told me a little bit about your background. I want you on the security team. I'm like, okay, let's do it. So I was on the security team till now. So okay, God, I guess you want me to use the stuff I've learned to help these people out. So that's what I've been doing now.
The most secure church in the country.
Well, it's great, man, because we got a lot of guys. We got a couple guys there who are Rangers, Navy SEALs, ex-Navy SEALs, really? Stuff like that. We had a dude who was ahead of it who is in the Secret Service. So he's been protecting all those guys. He's actually downtown in Nashville.
Really?
Yeah. So Wow. Yeah, they have a headquarters down there. I didn't know that,
but
they do. But yeah, we got guys from all over Rutherford County, fire department. It's just, we have about 150 guys mixed on the team.
This is a huge church, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was gonna say. Like I got like 100 people in my church total.
Well, what was amazing though is like when her and I got there, there wasn't that many people. There's only 5 guys on the security team, right? So then after that, he quit. My pastor asked me to take over. I took over from 2016 all the way to 2020 as soon as Corona hit. Then I stepped down. And then the guys who I trained up, I had them took over. And then it's been running like that ever since. Then I came back and my pastor was like, what do you want to do, man? I'm like, you know what, dude? I just want to wash feet, dude. So just, I'll still do security, but I'm not going to be the head of it anymore. It was just too much.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's what I do now.
Yeah, it's almost like another job.
Yeah, it was, man. I was there freaking Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays, plus my job, my regular job I got, plus doing cryptid hunting. It was just go.
How'd your wife feel about that? Was it because you were serving the church? It was all right?
No, that took a damage too. Because I'm the type of guy, if I do it, I go in 110%. That's how I am.
Yeah.
So when we moved here, I was like, cool, there's jobs open in Metro, National Police Department, Rutherford County. She's like, do you really want to go back to the job that almost split up our marriage? I was like, okay, you're right. So she's like, hey, why don't you just try out some other things, you know, maybe go back to your old trade, which is welding. I'm like, okay. So I applied for Nissan and that's where I met T and yeah, here we are.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's wow. worked out, man. It's worked out.
It's working out great.
Yeah.
Praise God. Yeah.
It's driving me crazy. I'm just going to
think, whoop. Oh, there sorry. Go. There we go.
Right there. There we go. Yeah. All right. So, because sometimes your voice is fading and I know why. Oh. So now we're good. So this is a direction that I wasn't expecting how all this kind of came together. Going back to Denver, is there in your research with the airport, because I remember you, this is crazy too, because I remember you telling me about, you had a story about Denver International Airport and I totally forgot until you brought it up. But that spawned you into that. Have you ever, outside of what you shared, uncovered things or found things that through your training might've been like a flag? You're like, I think I know what that is kind of thing.
Well, as far as the conspiracy part of it, like, okay, biblically wise, right? Let's say in Matthew 24, Luke 21, all that stuff, Revelations and all that. We know it's going to get worse before it gets worse, before it gets better, right? We know it's going to be anarchy, stuff like that, and all that stuff. So when we were training on this team, we had to learn how to breach certain areas. And, you know, a certain person said, we just have to be prepared for the enemy. I'm like, okay, well, what's the definition of enemy? You know, could be religion factors, factions, could be, you know, people who basically who stand up against what the order is. And I was like, oh, I'm not about that life. I'm good. Count me out.
That's wild.
Yeah. And then after that, moved here, met Cameron, got on the security team. And then he's like, hey man, this was in 2015. About a year after we moved here. He's like, hey, I'm going on a sponsored Bigfoot in Kentucky at over at the Mammoth Cave National Park. You want to go?
Going on a what?
On a sponsored Bigfoot hunt.
Okay.
To the Mammoth Cave National Park. You want to go? I was like, eh, let me think about it. And he's like, dude, for real, like, I want you to come because I need guys who know what they're doing. Like, all we're doing is research. I need people who know weapons who don't want to die. I'm like, all right, we'll go. So I got a team of guys and we went. And that's actually where I met Zook and a couple of the guys. And, yeah, so when we went there, quick story on that, we were there for like 2 days. So in this area where we had to go, we literally had to take a ferry. You actually drive your vehicle up on this ferry, takes you across to this mountain island. And then they close from 7 p.m. and they open it up at 7 a.m. So if anything happens, you're on your own. So you better have a satellite phone, something like that. So we went with a team of 15 guys. One of them was a pilot. And he was a good dude, but he was a skeptic. Now he's not a skeptic anymore because we had some incidents happen. So here's what happened to me. We're on there night two. The next morning we're going to leave. But night two, we were in those mountains looking around. And it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. We rode up on this SUV, was parked. All the doors were open. The thing that I told Cam, I was like, hey, stop. Was because I saw a baby carriage on the floor and everything was dumped out. So, hey, we got to stop. So naturally, as a protector, you want to get out and investigate and see what's going on. So we all got out, looked around. The way the vehicle was parked, it was pointed at this trail that led to the river. And then around it was just bush line and it just went up a mountain, right? So I go to the driver's side, make sure there's no people in there. God forbid there's a baby in there. Nothing, thank God, looked around. My back is towards the wood line as I'm on the driver's side. My buddy Ben is on the opposite side looking. My buddy Cameron's on a sat phone calling Rangers, whoever needs to talk to, tell them what's going on in this area, right? Pinpointing on what's going on. That way they can come investigate the next day. So everyone's looking around. So next thing I know, I hear a big growl, but it's not your certain type of growl. It's like a deep guttural growl. And I didn't know anything about infrasound at the time, Tony. I knew nothing about it. So it physically felt like my back was up against a subwoofer at a concert at Metallica, and they just hit that guitar string and my whole insides just shook. And I almost passed out and I had my hand on the top of the vehicle and then everything just kicked in, turned around, pulled my pistol out, backed up. Ben pulled his pistol out and said, what the freak was that? Did you hear that? And in my mind, I'm like, okay, cool. I'm not crazy. I heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So, whatever happened with the people in the car, do you know?
We don't know.
Wow.
We don't know.
Wow. So, middle of the night, SUV,
mm-hmm.
all doors open,
mm-hmm.
nobody inside.
Nobody.
Were the lights on in the SUV?
No.
So, do you think the battery was dead?
I don't know. There were no keys in it, nothing. We tried to turn it on, nothing. The battery had to be dead.
Was it newer?
Yeah, it was newer.
Do you think it was stolen?
Could be. Who knows?
Wow.
But as far as that, we didn't get no more intel on it. No, nothing. So.
And this was in Kentucky?
Kentucky, yeah. Mammoth Cave National Park.
Wow. That's interesting. I wonder if there's any missing people cases up there.
Oh, 100%. Oh, yes. 100%.
There's a cluster.
Rewind. Let me finish my thought. I know there's missing people cases.
Okay, wait a second. Have you heard the 411, dog? Come on.
Have you ever heard of has Bigfoot ever abducted people? That fits that description, you know?
Yeah.
Have you looked into that at all? As far as the description of what you found versus what maybe would be a missing person case up there?
No, as far as that, Cameron said he was going to look into that, but we just left it at that. Wow. And then I went about my business and never heard anything of it.
That sounds like Sasquatch and Missing Man Part 2.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Holy cow. Wow. All right. So that was the introductory to the ops?
Yeah.
Wow.
So after that, I'll wrap this up and then you can go around. Sorry, guys. So after that, he kind of slowed down at going. So I'm like biting at the bit. So I start going by myself, right? So, which is a no-no. So one of the guys I started working with, his name's Brian Cochran. Love you, Poe Dog. Love you, man. Good dude. Him and I started working together when I moved here. And ex-bounty hunter, stuff like that. Good dude, ripped up. Him and I have been best friends since I moved here. So it was just him and I going. So he's a tracker. He knows his stuff. So same age as me. And then after that, we just started, every year I just started to slowly vet people and just started adding on people. And what was cool was at the place I work at now, which is Nissan, my job description, I'm basically everywhere around the plant. I'm not stuck on the line, so I'm everywhere. So I get to meet a lot of people and talk to them. And as you do that over the years, you start to see what people's beliefs are, what they do, stuff like that. So I started to find a good like-minded people who shoot, communicate, go out in the woods, survival, stuff like that. And then it came up to the topic, what do you guys feel about cryptids?
Yeah. you got to kind of like
that's how you weed it out, right?
Yeah, yeah. Fish for it. Yeah, yeah. Like, hey, man, what do you think about this? Just conversational stuff.
Yeah. So, and then with some guys, it was like, oh, dude, let me tell you, man, I've had this experience. I'm like, sweet.
Like,
let's go.
Like sleep paralysis.
Like sleep paralysis.
There's a lot of people we met that had sleep paralysis.
Yeah, I've had that. It sucks. Yeah.
But that, yeah. We're going to talk about that while we're here today.
Anyways, yeah, but we'll get to that later. But
for sure.
Yeah, so yeah, that's basically. Actually, how I got all my guys throughout the years. Every year, I always get somebody. So.
Do you have any like background in military or anything like that?
Nope, no military. Just outdoors, grip shooting,
survivalist
a little bit. Yeah, just one of those. Just like, man, I like being outdoors. Like, can you start a fire by hand without a lighter?
Yeah,
you know, just Boy Scout stuff.
Are you originally from Tennessee?
I am. Nashville area.
Okay. So I can't talk about this on the podcast yet because I'm still looking into it because I'm not sure if it's true or not, but remind me after, I'll tell you guys, the audience hates when I do that. But I will talk about it on the show. I just found out about it today, but.
Right on my Palm Pilot.
There you go. But there's a legend of a particular person in Tennessee that I think might fit the description of Nephilim hybrid. And he didn't live that long ago.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, but I don't, I just heard about it today. So I wanted to look into it more before I actually talk about it on the show. But I bring that up because you got the red beard and
might be a cousin.
He don't got six fingers though. He got six toes. No, I'm just joking.
You never see my feet.
Double road teeth. So you're putting a team together. And I mean, roughly, do you know how many operations you guys have gone on?
Oh God, probably about 10 plus.
I would say double digits.
Yeah.
10, really?
10 to 15.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't know if it's worth going through all of them, but I definitely want to talk about maybe some of the operations that have been most impactful for the team. I know Jessica was talking to me about something to do with the Skinwalker Cave or something. I was like, want that.
That's one of the things, the cave that said the devil is here. Remember seeing that?
Yeah, and that's one of the things too that we actually specialize in too. It's not just shooting and communicating as well, but we also like caving. We do a lot of that too.
I do not like caving.
No, he doesn't because like
my wife just bought me two gas detectors because I've been going into like old mines and caves and stuff. Yeah. And I came home the last time and I told and I tried. I don't try hiding things from her, but I do try to omit certain things. And I slipped up and I brought up how we had a real strong smell of gas. And so we had to kind of get out of the one spot. And next thing I know, like a week later, I have these two detectors sitting on the table. And she's like, I can't stop you from doing these things, apparently. So I'm going to at least buy these things to help you survive. Because she tells me all the time, don't go in caves. I'm like, okay. I don't think that's going to happen, but sure, dear. You know?
Yes.
So, I mean, does it make sense to go into the Skinwalker one? Or you guys want to hit on something else first? Because I want to kind of get into this.
We'll talk about when him and I first went on this single op, which talking to certain guys who actually do this for a living.
Do what for a living?
Hunt these things.
For a living?
Yeah, yeah, there's a few out there that you've talked to.
Yeah. Being in the in the tactical world, I guess, or whatever, shoot, move, communicate, and all that, military guys, ex-law enforcement, like meeting a lot of these dudes. She's introduced me to a couple.
Before you go any further, I need you to clarify: are these people who are like hired by like government agencies type of thing to go hunt these things,
little,
or are these like
both?
I know someone that's hired. That's a contractor.
A contractor for like an agency, almost. Yes. Like,
I mean, I don't know.
Let's talk about the mythical person as a person that doesn't exist. But I want to hear the stories that don't really never happen. Yeah, okay. I want to hear about.
I can tell you those.
We'll just leave it at that.
This is going to be.
We'll just keep doing
these quotations.
Let's rein it in because I can't. I can't keep over talking everybody here because we got to think about the audience. So one at a time, okay. But we will circle back to that. I want to hear as much as you guys can tell me. Continue.
Okay. So anyways, I had like a team of four guys at the time. And one of the guys that was, each guy on my team is specific at something. Okay. T does a lot of communications, Overwatch, sniping stuff like that, you know? And then this other guy does a lot of intel, all that. And then so on and so forth. You got guys who are breaching or whatever, you know, shooting rifle guys, stuff like that. So, armor, whatever. But one of my buddies, he was on this forum that they basically he just looked through the forum at people who are having problems in certain towns, right? And on animals getting killed or people missing, stuff like that. So we were trying to figure out, okay, where the heck are we gonna go next? So he's like, hey, check out this. Let's go over here and check out this spot, which is in. Was it Mountain City?
Mountain City, Tennessee.
Mountain City, Tennessee. It's like right at the tip, eastern tip of Tennessee, northeastern tip of Tennessee. So I'm like, cool. Let's go check it out. So I try to get all the guys wrangled up. Couldn't happen. All we brought was three guys, me, Taylor, my buddy Paul. So we went there, went to check out downtown, talked to a couple people. And then this lady talked about going up on these logging roads, but she said, be careful because there's a lot of homeless, a lot of people that go missing out there, animals, stuff like that. That sounds perfect. Let's go check this out. So then this was Taylor's T's first time going.
Yeah. It's one of those where I had a thought probably like, man, I believe like it's cool. I believe, but like, I've never seen anything. A lot of people have never seen anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as soon as we get there.
I'm getting so excited.
All right. So anyway, we drive up. How long we were driving, dude?
I don't know, dude. I think it took like almost 6 hours to drive. And then we couldn't find a place to stay. Like
everything was closed off.
Everything was closed. We tried to find like a camping spot that we were going to like hike into somewhere. But everywhere was closed and like no vacancy. Now, you know, 2-3 night minimum. We only stayed one day.
Yeah. So we found like this logging room that was open and we're like,
that's like a lot of the logging rooms were closed.
Yeah, we're closed. And we're like, well, shoot, if they freaking shut this while we're here, we'll just blow the freaking locks off and we'll just keep moving, right? So, quotations. So,
Andrew's not his real name.
Yeah. So we found it. We drove in a good couple miles in until it got too mushy, too muddy. We couldn't go any farther with the truck. So we found a spot, backed in, and I have this thing I always do whenever we set up camp. I always set up a tripwire about 50-foot radius all the way around. That way, if something trips it, I know what's coming. At least it gives us a heads up. So did that. The guy set up. We're just cooking dinner, hanging out. It was dark. It was about like 9 o'clock.
Yeah, it got dark quick on the mountain, especially when, you know, the sun sets behind the mountain. Yeah. It gets dark quick.
Yeah. So we did that. And then about 12 o'clock around there.
Yeah, it's about midnight.
About midnight, yeah.
Because we all stayed up as probably as late as we realistically could. Dude, it was a long day.
Yeah. So we did that. And then, so Paul goes to bed. So me and Taylor just stay up, hanging out. Next thing we know, we hear things coming down the mountain. Breaking branches, rocks rolling. Because
it's quiet,
like that.
Dude. It's quiet, real quiet.
Man. No bugs, no nothing. Everybody knows if there's a predator around.
Dude, everything is silent.
Everything's dead silent. Quiet. So I'm like, ooh, game time. And Taylor's like, what's that? And I'm like, you'll see. So we're just kind of chilling. Next thing we know, triple arm goes off. Do, 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 do. Rifles up, frontal assault, go. Paul's like, what's going on? Just hang out, buddy. Hang out. You'll be all right. He has his pistol out.
Yeah,
like, what's
going on? In his underwear, dude. He was-
Anyways, yeah, I love Paul, but he was going through some stuff. So I'll give him that. He's good to go. So we go over there, check it out. I'm like, what the freak? Nothing. So basically, I set up the alarm again. So as we're going, we're hearing something pacing us. Not just one, but two. And you got another one coming down. So we're hearing these things on left and right of us. Me and Taylor are back to back, rifles up, just listening. Throw my night vision on, looking, can't see nothing. Throw my night vision up. As we're focusing over here, north alarm goes off. We turn around, south alarm goes off.
Like, oh God.
So it's getting too raunchy, and Taylor's like, screw it, pop off some rounds. Boom, 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 boom. These things just take off. So I go set up the alarms real quick, and I'm like, what the? I wish we had more guys. So after that, we just kind of calm down. We just let the fire burn out. Paul's asleep. Taylor goes in his tent. I'm in my tent, prone position, nods on. I don't care. I'm up. Just scoping, watching. And then next thing I know, I kind of doze off and I hear like this zombie sound. This guy's throwing up.
Dude. Yeah, dude, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Just listen. We all ate the same thing.
Exactly.
But here's what happened though. He was throwing up. I get out. I'm like, what the freak, you good? And he's all, I'm good. Next thing you know, the alarm goes off behind him. Do, 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 do. Turn, grab him, rifles up as he's throwing up still. And pop off some more shots again. Gone. We go set the alarm. And I'm like, dude, you okay? He's like, dude, I don't feel good. I feel weird, man.
Yeah, dude, I remember, I was super lightheaded and like everything was like not blurry, but like spinning. Yeah. Like I just like, dude, I'm just out of it. Then he's like, pull your gun out, dude. I'm just,
Stop pointing at me. Stop pointing at me.
So like, I'm like, dude, I'm not much help right now, dude. I'm just,
man.
I remember specifically all the hair on my body was standing up. I remember that.
Yeah.
And I'm a hairy dude.
Man, you got zapped.
Yeah. I was just like,
yeah, he's out of it.
Yeah.
Infrasound.
So, yeah.
So that's what, go back on what you talked about earlier, the infrasound, dude. It just hits you.
Yeah, it just hits him. So I was thinking like, okay, like doing some research on these things. Okay, as a predator, right, you're going to go after your biggest threat or your weakest one. It depends on how you're feeling, salty or not, right? So if you throw out an infrasound, you can grab the biggest guy and you work your way down, or you grab the weakest link and work your way down. It just depends on how you're feeling. So that was my opinion. I'm right, but that's just what I was thinking. They're going to go after him because he was the biggest threat, basically, you know, and work their way down. But after that, it calmed down. I'm still up. Everybody fell asleep. I finally, you know, fall asleep. T wakes up like, dude, let's just go track and let's go see what the heck we can find, because we know there was a couple of them out here.
Yeah. It was because it was like, it was dark and we both had lights on our rifles and stuff. And those go out, you know, when you're in the woods where it's super dense, woods. And so, because it's a national forest out there.
Yeah.
And it's like the lights would go, I don't know, 30 feet.
Mm-hmm. It'd just
be like black, just pitch black. Or just eat. And like, you would always feel like you'd hear like a moving through the.
Yeah, bipedal.
You'd follow it.
Not quadruped, but bipedal running.
Yeah, you would follow it and be like, dude, what the heck? And it'd be like right outside the light range.
Yep.
And then you hear behind you. It's almost like they were trying to get me and him both
flanking. Yeah.
Like to not pay attention, both of us looking the same way. And, you know,
yeah, I think they're just testing out the boundaries, checking to see like what we're about, checking our security system, stuff like that. So, but then after that, we woke up in the morning. I'm like, dude, let's go track. Let's go look at what we can find.
Yeah.
And I was like, Paul, you're making breakfast since you weren't up the
time. Yeah, Paul never came out of his tent the whole time.
He was out. He was the sleeping. Whole time. He was sleeping. Popping even off after rounds, those shots, he was sleeping.
Popping off rounds, he never came out.
He's a good old boy.
He is a good old boy. Yeah. I love that boy to death. He's hardcore, but.
He's like, that's what we call sound machines when I was growing up.
I was like, yeah. Put it this way, he lives in a holler, so just saying. Yeah. But yeah, he was out. He's like, dude, I didn't hear you guys. Man, I'm like, dude, you didn't hear her screaming? He's like, no.
Yeah, we popped off.
Tell
like
me he's still
five,
on the team.
Yeah. Oh, he's still on the team.
Perfect.
Yeah, he's still on the team. I love the guy to death.
His job is the cook, not security.
breakfast dude, was bomb. Yeah,
yeah, he's bomb at cooking, man. I give you that. My gosh. But what was funny though, before we did that though, before everything popped off, I was like, hey, get your keys and go put them in the gas door. He's all, why? Because if you get drug off,
dude, there's no keys.
There's no keys.
Mm.
So put them somewhere where we all know where they're at.
Yeah, sorry, bud.
We'll come back later.
We're going to go get help. We are the help.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So after that, we went tracking and then we went up this ridge. Nothing but mountains, Tony, as far as we can see.
Dude, it's just miles.
Just miles. Miles of mountains, dude. Going up Appalachian.
Well, so, go ahead.
That was it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I went up there believing, but skeptical. Left 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Something was there. 100%.
Wow. Wow. I mean, looking at Mountain City on the map here and to see where it is, it's not far from Bristol, and but it's further out than Bristol, which is interesting. You're right on the border of North Carolina and Tennessee. In fact, part of Mountain City actually crosses over into North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about rural. This is rural. Mm-hmm. It's out there. So when you went scouting, did you guys find any tracks or anything that was breaking?
Well, the thing was like we found broken twigs, stuff like that, trees, all that. It was like during like fall time. It was during like Thanksgiving around that area. So nothing but leaves everywhere. Yeah. So couldn't see much.
Like when you heard them coming in, was it like, did it look like anywhere that like something large came through or was it like?
There was a lot. There was already, I'm assuming like deer trails.
Yeah.
Where it was kind of wide. There's an obvious like deer path. Have you ever been out hunting ever and you know, you follow your deer path, they always take the same.
Yeah, they follow the part of least resistance. So.
Yes, they always take the same every time because I have deer trails on my property and there's you can walk them. And so they're pretty wide enough to where you can walk through them. And some of them were really wide where you can tell where they've been through. And it's hard to tell, you know, if it's a common path, if something new has been there versus my day before we got there. So,
yeah.
All right, let's take a second and talk about our sponsor, which is Simply Safe. Have you ever felt leaving your house or going home that maybe something is not totally right, insecure? Well, with Simply Safe, you're going to be able to be ahead of the curve when it comes to actually knowing what's going on. In fact, maybe you have bears going around the property, kind of like myself, where you don't know if they're out there or not. With Simply Safe, you will, because when they're roaming around, the sensors on the camera will detect it and shoot you video right to your phone, letting you know what is going on outside your home. And you can have it going on inside your home where the cameras are picking up the activity as well. If somebody is breaking into your house, it's great because Fast Protect Monitoring is there for your convenience. They will intercept the person robbing your home and call the police at the same time. Simply Safe is a very, very user-friendly service, and there is no long-term contracts needed to use Simply Safe. For all those reasons and more, I recommend using Simply Safe on your home. Right now, protect your home with 50% off a new Simply Safe system plus a free indoor security camera when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring. Just visit simplysafe.com/confessionals. That's simplysafe.com/confessionals. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
That was that. And then we'll go to Jessica where we went on that skinwalker. Skinwalker.
The devil is here.
Pull your palm pad or whatever it was you said and write down on it. I have to show you some footage that I have as well. That
take your hand notes.
Interesting. Oh yeah,
you also have a picture of the footprint.
I got those.
Yeah, I have it too.
You're talking about from the skinwalker cave one?
Yeah,
that was a weird case. That was really odd.
Were you the one that uncovered the case initially or?
No, I think, well, Farah, who owned the property.
She asked for help.
Yeah, she had asked for help and I was talking to, I don't know if I had, I, I think I did know. I knew Farrah back then.
Yeah. Time out. What's this print for?
That where we went.
That's that was
we
at the Skinwalker Cave. Yeah.
Make sure you send it to Jack so we can put it on the video.
Okay, so that footprint is part of why we were sent out there, because Farrah and her husband, who lived on this property, it was like 500 acres of kind of farmland and mountains on some property up in Whitleyville,
yeah,
Tennessee.
I'm glad you remember, because I don't remember where we were.
Well, she and I had been in contact, and she and Drew had been in contact, I guess. And she said that her chickens had been going missing, and she had a chicken coop. They had just moved in this cabin. They bought this cabin sight unseen. I don't know if they knew there was a cave 30 feet from their back door. Yeah. But it was creepy.
It was awesome.
Creepy.
Yeah, that's such a weird place to live, but like, man, it's super cool.
It was beautiful, man.
It was beautiful.
But there was a cave, a huge cave opening right behind their back door.
30 feet away from their house, like literally right there.
So we went, well, and I don't think she knew the Skinwalker part of that cave yet. Mm-hmm. She didn't know the lore behind it when they bought this house. Like I said, it was sight unseen. They just knew they were living, you know, going to live in a nice cabin. Right at the bottom of a little mountain base right there. So when she got there, she went immediately up to that cave entrance and said that it was so creepy. At some point, she started leaving a voice recorder out there during the day and at night. And I think she was picking up voices out of that cave. She eventually went and did some research on this place and found out that a Native American shaman, had banished and sealed inside that cave a bunch of skinwalkers. That was Choctaw land. So she had some prized chickens, okay, like her babies, these beautiful chickens that she'd put in a coop right outside the entrance of that cave, which was right at her back door.
Yeah.
And the chickens started disappearing. Now, they weren't, you know, weaseling their way out of this pen. It had a latch on it. Something was coming and opening up the pen, taking the chickens one at a time. There were at least two, probably more. And the only thing that would be left of these chickens were feathers. And at some point, the last chicken they took, which was her breaking point, there was a stick, a long stick that had been poked into the backside of the chicken coop. So something with hands, okay, had taken the stick and poked it in there and flushed the chickens to the front where the door was. And there was a big pile of feathers right there, and then feathers going into that cave entrance. But there was no sign of a chicken. Now, if that were a predator, I think that would have left some skin, some blood, some guts, you know, if it had eaten it, like right there.
Bobcat or something, no hands.
Yeah, it would have been less clean.
Yeah. Well, there was that footprint by the chicken coop.
Did anybody get a measurement of it? Because I remember, dude, I was like, I wear a size 11 and a half shoe, and it was...
Yeah, it was about a good 14 inches, something like that.
It was...
That picture you just showed me?
Yeah.
It was big.
Wow.
Yeah, not only that, too, she actually took a picture of like that Shadow Dogman figure. I've been trying to get that picture from her.
Oh, was it from her cameras?
And what was her name again?
Farrah.
So Farrah had a picture that she took of a Shadow Dogman thing. Did she see it when she took the picture, or was it something that she reviewed the picture afterwards and saw?
No, well, she saw it because when she walked out to go check on her chicken, she heard a growl and looked to her right, and she freaked out. And then she took her camera and took a picture, and you seen it duck, and then it came up full-fledged, and you just see the whole silhouette of it. Straight up canine ears, everything. And it was like, what?
I'm impressed with her.
Yeah, she had cameras all over her house.
The fact that she thought to do that, I mean, that's
in the first instinct, run.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going back inside now.
Yeah.
Well, she had cameras all outside on the corners of her home.
Yeah.
And whenever she would have a chicken that would go missing, the cameras would be moved.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So something was like
moved
it,
like picked up and moved, or just turned?
Turned them.
Really?
Yeah. And then they do what they do.
Change the angle of it.
So she, at what point did she start feeling like this was something cryptid or haunting versus a neighborhood person taking her chickens?
Well,
two neighbors?
She had two neighbors, and it was all of it. She knew it was paranormal. She figured it was cryptid too. Yeah.
I think the neighbors were like elderly.
Yeah, but also too, across the street, the neighbor moved in there, was like 3 weeks, and he left because he saw something huge running across the field. He's like, I'm out of here.
Right behind him was like a 25 acre flat farmland field, because that's where I was looking at when I was on the overwest position.
Where in Tennessee is this?
Middle North.
Middle North. So out near the back 40 of Fort Campbell?
Could be.
Clarksville area?
It's Whitleyville. Look it up on a map. I have no idea.
Yeah. You haven't been out there in, like, was it 2 years?
It's the very tip, north tip of Tennessee. Wow. Yeah, it was. She had so much activity there. A lot of stuff was picking up on. She had orb activity too. And when we got there, I actually took my ghost hunting equipment because, you know, a lot of times when we're out in the field, we'd take our ghost hunting equipment. We use all sorts of different types of equipment, but I had my REM pods, my voice recorders, my EVP stuff, you know, mel meters, K2 meters, and all that stuff. And so we started using that, and it turns out we were getting a whole bunch of, when we got there, we set up the REM pod, we set up the SLS camera towards that cave, and we were getting paranormal activity out there. It wasn't just cryptid stuff going on. We were picking up figures in the SLS camera. Mm-hmm. And it was not just regular figures. It was like one giant figure and two little tiny figures.
Yes. Yeah. And it was up in the ceiling. What is it like crawling?
They came out of a hole. They came out of a hole in the cave, on the side of the cave. They crawled down. The two little ones started, one of them started dancing around the antenna on my REM pod.
Yeah.
We have it all on video.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that was like some kind of interdimensional skinwalker kind of thing?
Well, there's the thing. I started questioning, can Sasquatch be ghosts?
Mm. Finally, we're getting there.
Yeah. Sasquatch or giant. I mean, this was a giant. This was a giant. It's huge. It was giant.
Because the ceiling of the cave was like 15 feet tall.
But it looks like it also had horns too. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Well, they said that it was a skinwalker cave.
Okay. So, the cave ceiling's 15 feet. How tall did the ceiling was it? Would you say how tall do you think this thing?
Well,
is?
Well, basically, okay. So the entrance of the ceiling was 15 feet, and as soon as you go in, it dips like the floor goes down, and then it opens up even higher, almost like like a cathedral ceiling.
We were set up at the entrance.
Yeah.
That thing was it was almost to this maybe 10, 12.
Yeah,
maybe 15.
It was crawling too. By the way,
the fact that you say it has horns is interesting because in Pennsylvania. There's an old newspaper article from, I think it was North Central Pennsylvania. They uncovered giant bones. It was like a burial site. I think it was like 40-ish skeletons. And there was a picture of one of the skeletons and it had horns.
Mm.
I just covered that. Oh my gosh. I just covered that in Pennsylvania, the horned humans. Mm. I just did a show on that last week.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
So maybe the horned humans weren't just Pennsylvania. Maybe they were Nephilim that had horns.
Yeah. Who knows?
I mean, this guy's a Nephilim, so.
I think I got him on the team. Family somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, speak their language.
Yeah. Well, that's why you go along to call them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right. So you guys are investigating the cave and you found those footprints going to the cave.
We saw feathers. There were feathers going into the cave.
It was like, going into the cave.
The chicken feathers. So something was taking the chickens out and carrying them up into that cave. But when we got there, the bottom of that cave floor was all mud. Thick mud.
Figured we'd find some tracks on that.
Zero tracks.
Nothing. Wow.
Nothing. It was like, it was basically almost like that clay mud. It gets stuck to your boots. You got to scrape it off with the rock and stuff. Yeah.
We were losing our shoes in the mud, basically, when we were walking. Yeah. So, I mean, so whatever was going in there. Okay, this is my assessment, right? I was like, all right, it's got to be something that's climbing the walls, something that is disappearing into some kind of portal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because it did fit. I know this may sound crazy to a lot of people. To me, it doesn't. Okay, but as soon as you walk into that mouth of the cave, it's a whole other realm, literally.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Yeah, and then we went in pretty far. The only reason why we stopped is because we ran out of rope.
Okay.
No joke. Yeah.
Bring your own rope.
Creepy.
Yeah. Yep. We brought about 300 foot of rope.
It was, three to 500 feet.
Yeah.
You know, you just trail it behind you so you know which way you came from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those, like, you would take a right, left.
Yeah. So what we did
different
was
different entrances that, you know, dead end and then you just keep going.
So I brought, like, I've been doing this for a while. I always bring like 20 plus cam lights. So I drop them about every 20 feet, right?
Mm.
That way, if you need to cut out, you keep going where the light is, right? So, and then we hit this certain part at the edge of the cave to where me and Brian roped off. Me and Brian went down. T was over there holding the rope.
You guys had to rappel down.
We actually had to rappel down.
Yeah.
And then we climbed up this, like this face, and then it dropped down 100 feet. Like I dropped a cam light down and had Brian drop a cam light down there. We couldn't see it. So it opens up even more. But the crazy part is though, is when we were going in there, there were entrances of the cave that were concreted off.
Yeah, they concreted them off. Yep.
Yeah.
Why didn't they concrete the one off that you went in? That's the question.
Well, there was actually a college or some type of Tennessee cave society that had put some sort of piping down that went in from the entrance of the cave deep into the cave. And I'm not exactly sure why that was all there, but it was some kind of drainage, I'm assuming. And that may explain kind of why those concrete, those holes were concreted over.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Well, here's the thing. The concreted over part, what if whoever did the concreting knows what's in there?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And in order to contain the direction it moves, they walled off the ones, the entrances they don't want it to go out and in, so they can focus in on where it would become.
Funnel it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
See?
They're not trying to keep us out. They're trying to keep something in. And that was actually the lore behind that whole cave, is that skinwalkers were banished by the shaman.
Yep.
By the Native American shaman to seal them inside that cave. Now, there's no rebar on the front of that cave. There's no kind of stone that's like blocking the entrances. It's wide open. So it's like a spiritual banishment into there. There's something spiritual right there, I guess. But they did some physical blocking inside.
Are we sure that this cave that we're talking about here with the banishment and all that, are we sure this is the cave to that legend?
It's the cave.
Yeah.
Wow. That's wild.
Well, it was a trip, though. Going back to that, though, to me, what kind of kicked it off was when she said she put that offering down at the beginning of that cave, at the entrance of that cave when she moved there. So she went there, hey, yada, yada, I'm here to, you know, I'm not going to take over your land. I'm just here to live here, be peaceful. So here's an offering. And that's when everything started ramping up.
Well, they took those chickens as an offering.
Right. Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, I don't want this petty tobacco.
Does she know? She know the story behind it? Is that why she did that?
No. She just does that basically. It's almost like us moving to our house and praying over it, right? Mm. So certain people do certain ways on how they do things, right? So she was going there to say, hey, whoever's listening, I'm here.
At the entrance of the cave. What would make her think that there's anything to talk to at the entrance of the cave?
I have no idea.
To make peace. Well, she inherently just felt something. It was her gut.
Okay, there we go.
And there were also voices that she was hearing coming out of that cave. It was just a very ominous feeling. She didn't like the feeling she got when she went up to the cave or in it. She said that it took all she had just to get up the nerve to even step a couple of feet inside that cave by herself. I do not recommend going in that cave alone to anybody. Yeah. And y'all either, right? It was creepy. Very creepy.
Yeah.
So that's the extent of the cave?
No. Of that one. And then was on the other side of the land, there was another one she told us about.
So on the same property, there's two caves?
Yes.
It was 500 acres, so there's a lot of land, a lot of property.
Probably more caves.
Yeah.
Probably.
So she told us about another one. So the next day, we went to go check out this other spot she told us about. So we went there, and then this one, we actually had to tie off to a tree, and we had to rappel down 200 feet. So I'm like, oh, crap, man. If something comes at us, man, all we got is our pistols, and like, you better move.
There's no quick way in or out.
Yeah.
No.
So anyway, so we get there. Drop some can lights down. Everybody rappels down. And I'm worried about someone or something cutting that rope, and we're totally screwed. Mm. We're screwed.
Dude, there's no way out. If the rope was gone, there's no way out.
Yeah. So all of us rappel down. So we start going through there. I'm taking point. T and Brian are behind me. Z and old Juice are taking the rear part. And they're just looking behind them, and we're just following, just going through these areas. And we found tracks, almost look like bear tracks or cougar tracks, right? Because it was rocky, and then it goes into that clay mud again, okay? And then we come up to like almost like a dead end. And we're like, okay, let's just turn around, because it keeps kind of wise off.
What is like the... It was like it was like a narrow aisleway. Because that's from what I remember. There's a narrow aisleway. There was like water.
Yeah.
And then you were like, wonder how deep it is. Because like, there's nothing with caves. If you see water, you don't know how deep it is.
You don't. Yeah.
And I remember somebody was like, let's take a step or something. Or somebody stepped
I was in
it.
Front of I was the one that did that.
Or like, let's test how deep it is. And it's like, you can't touch the bottom.
Yeah. Because I was like, I found a long stick around there. I was like, let me see that real quick. So I braced myself on each side with my foot hanging, and I just like, dude, I'm having Brian like hold me, hold my war Please. Belt. That way I don't fall in. So kept going. I just dropped it and just went down, down, down. So I dropped a cam light and it went down, down, down. I'm like, scrap that. We're not going this way.
Yeah, because if you trip and fall, it's like 15 feet of water.
Yeah. If that.
Who knows?
Who knows how deep it goes? So then we.
But it's like, clear because you.
Oh, it's beautiful. It was clear, dude.
Clear.
Yeah, almost made you want to kind of, let me try that. No. Yeah.
A little stale.
Yeah. So then after that, we actually backtracked, went to this other part of the cave. And then this is where I thought I saw a crawler, a shadow figure coming out. Because I started reading up on skinwalkers when Jessica was telling me all this intel and stuff she was getting from a couple buddies. So one of the things I was learning was don't whistle because it draws skinwalkers. So I was taking point. We're coming around this curve and I see something poke its head out like that. But it was a shadow. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I told the guys, hold up. Pulled my pistol out with the light looking. I'm like, and then T's like, F that. I saw that. So I'm trying to get it out. But I was like, yeah, okay, we're stopping right here. We're going back.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So if I start doing pop shots, I'm afraid rocks might start
falling. Heck yeah, you're in a cave. Like, that's the one thing with caves.
That's like the last.
Talking like this.
Yeah, it's like the last resort.
Yeah. So, you create those vibrations and all of a sudden the whole thing comes caving in, especially those old mines, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. When we got to that point where you guys had to rappel in, where we ran out of rope, wasn't it like that's where it, there's like another hole where you couldn't go any further. That's where it said the devil is here.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah. The devil is here.
Yeah, it said the devil is here.
Like the crawler?
In spray paint. No, in the cave before. The first cave.
The Skinwalker the cave.
Yeah.
The devil's here?
Yeah.
In spray paint? Yeah. The devil is here.
Holy
like,
crap.
I forgot about entrance, that. They like go, and you guys didn't go.
So people,
there.
That was like, yo, that's your warning. Like, we're just going to, devil's here. Don't come in.
And then to combo off that later that night, if you want to go into that, we're using, the name of that machine you were using.
The REM pod. We had a REM pod. We had an SLS camera. We had recorders out. And that's when we picked up the figure. We were getting voices. A lot of voices. See, Farrah and I stayed back at the front of the cave while the guys went deeper in because first of all, I'm not a big cave fan. But second of all, I knew, there was just a lot of us. And if something were to charge at us from the other end,
it just
all 10 of us are not going to get out of there.
Traffic jam. Okay? Who
are we sacrificing? Mud. Exactly. So somebody's I was in the gone. Back. I was like, yeah, we're going to. So we stayed in the front and Farrah and I did some kind of, she's more paranormal based, and so she wanted to do some paranormal experiments kind of and see if some voices came through and get the dowsing rods out and stuff to see if she could communicate. And we did. We ended up doing that. We did have, she had a device on her phone where like voices were coming through. They were talking about being people who had lived there before and that had passed away and their souls were kind of like living there, like normal everyday humans, okay, with families that went way back probably to the, 1800s or whenever. I don't know. Doing this paranormal stuff for so long, I don't know what's what anymore. You don't know who you're talking to. You don't know what you're talking to. It could have been anything.
Yeah. And there's a lot of deceit in that, too.
A lot.
They'll say I'm one thing, but.
Yep.
Yeah. That's actually how familiar spirits work. They just, lie. But what was the trip, though, going off of what you're saying about the people and stuff like that? Me and Brian, in the first cave, we went off deeper onto this other part. We had to squeeze through. And we kept going. And I'm like, God, oh God, please let us get back. So there was no way to turn around. We literally had to keep going till we find a spot to turn around and come back. Well, as we were doing that, we found a bunch of basically almost like fire pits. People camping or something like that. Like
in the cave?
Old petrified wood that was stacked up, almost looked like a burning pit right there. You look up, it's just a little hole where the vents out, it was deep in there, man.
And that's after you had to squeeze in.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wasn't there a coffin somewhere? Like somebody had drawn a coffin?
Oh.
That was towards the entrance and like to the left. It was like another cavern that went left where, didn't it look like a burial? It looked like, stacked rocks for a burial, which none of us touched. Nobody touched it.
It's not like the Bellwitch cave. Yeah,
you don't bring anything.
Yeah.
But somebody, I remember either Zook or you, while crawling, because I remember Zook went too, because he's slender and he was able to fit in certain places where I could not.
Because you're a Nephilim.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks. But I remember he said that he moved something. I don't know if he told everybody that. He like while crawling in there, he was like, "Oh, what is that?" He's like, "Oh, wow."
ADD.
Yeah. And so I remember him saying like he moved something, and I was like, "Oh, okay, cool." And like I didn't know what to say. Cool. Then when you were doing the REM pod, it said it said something about moved something, and
moving
it was
a rock.
And I was like, I guess it was like, Zuck, did you tell anybody that? And he was like, no, man, just you were like Andrew or something like that. And I was like, it said it moved something, and it was specifically, I don't remember what it said. Maybe it's on the recordings, but it said you moved whatever that was. And he was like, I moved that inside that cave when I was crawling around.
Wow.
And I was like, what?
Oops.
I know.
It's like, go put it back.
Was there any repercussions for that? Did he ever say that he had issues after that?
No, as far as that, like, especially with the guys on my team, we're all Christian and stuff like that. So we pray before we go, and then we all pray after, you know, we get anointed and all pray over each other and stuff like that. That way nothing follows us home.
Very Pentecostal of you.
Yeah.
I dig it, by the way. Wow. Wild stuff, man. Like that's crazy. I would love to see this cave one day. Do you still talk to her?
Yeah, we still talk. She moved. She moved like a few months after that, right?
Yeah.
So she doesn't own the property anymore?
No.
No. But she can get a hold of the person who does.
Does the person who does know what's going on the property?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
They're good with it?
I mean, good. They're, what do you mean by good?
Like good us going?
Yeah. Well, good with you going, but also like good with the activity. Like they don't have a problem with it, or they haven't had experiences, I guess. Or
I don't think they live on the property, so they probably don't have to worry about it.
They don't live on it?
I don't, if I'm not mistaken, because 500 acres, or they live like way.
Oh.
And they don't go poking acres around like a mile we did.
That way. Yeah, they don't go poking around. They just stay in their house.
We were poking around.
Oh, I want to talk to these people.
Yeah. So
I want to talk to Farrah too. Ooh, get Farrah and these people, the new owners on the show together.
I'll hit her.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Oh, gosh. Oh, I don't know. Well, you know, another strange thing was that there was a lot of toys and like little remnants of children's stuff. But of course,
in the cave?
In the cave entrance. I remember seeing like little things that kids would have owned. But of course, there could have been kids that lived there, you know.
Yeah, prior.
And I'm sure. And another thing to note was that it was like 125 degrees out there. Outside. But when we'd go outside, in the cave.
Yeah, caves have their own ecosystem.
Yeah, it was like a refrigerator down there. So,
that's where we hung out most of the time, was inside the caves. Yeah. It was so hot.
What'd you look at? Oh, what's up, William? We got a party crasher here.
Hey.
Good, bud.
Sorry, y'all. The perma pastor consultant in the house. How are you, man?
What's up, y'all?
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, what? Yeah.
So, man, I'm messing everything.
Oh, yeah, you're messing everything up. That's all right. That's wild, though. All right, so man, I lost track of my thoughts here. So we're talking about the stuff in the cave entrance
with
and
the kids stuff, and
so I mean
refrigeration.
This cave is wild, and I totally want to. I mean, it's not far from me. Like, I mean, it's what, 2 hours away? It's not that bad.
We had to go back.
It's worth going to. I'd come back for that.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm game.
And it's like,
preferably not when it's 125 degrees outside.
What's crazy is that like,
yeah, no, right.
The Daniel Boone National Forest in Kentucky is just north and east of that. And the cave, like what people have to understand when we're talking about this cave is that Tennessee is, of all the states in the Union, has the most caves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Kentucky has the second most caves. And I don't think it's an accident. Tennessee and Kentucky have so much activity when it comes to this stuff because these things do live underground. That's why I look. And also like the portals are, you know, they jump through the portals in the caves and that's how they.
They travel through the portals.
If I'm not mistaken, didn't Farrah say that she would wake up in the middle of the night hearing a train
underneath her house vibrating?
Really?
Yeah. She did. Well,
so you know all about that. It's one of the things that they built under the.
It's probably the train highway that
just extending the airport.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. So the Mountain City, what do you think that was? Bigfoot?
Yeah.
So you got Bigfoot, Mountain City. We just did the Skinwalker Cave. You got a Dogman story for me to get this trifecta going?
We just got back from a Dogman hunt in Alabama.
I was unable to go.
How was that?
We missed you. Yeah.
Did you kill it?
No.
Oh,
we're not. We're our aim is not to kill.
Oh,
right?
Man. Oh, mine is.
Mine is.
Mine is.
Remember we talked about body bags, stuff like that?
Oh, my God. I almost had a heart attack when we were talking about that. I was like, oh, my God, should we be talking about that? We're going to get censored and banned and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, well.
But
not if you.
Yeah. Well, it was all for entertainment purposes only.
Yeah. She had to cut me off. I was like going over my plan of what we're going to do. I was like, what? All right, we'll talk about it later.
Let's talk about it in private. It's called OPSEC.
Yeah, OPSEC. So OPSEC. Was out the door on that.
So how'd this trip go? Was there any activity in it?
Yeah, a little bit, man. There was. Yeah. The hike sucked.
We hiked in. We actually hiked in. We did. We were backpack hiking, backpack camping, and so you know, I got to tell him about the dinosaur too.
Good.
Okay, or not the dinosaur, the dragon, the dragon. All right, so we're in the deep woods of Alabama. Are we going to get, we're not giving the location away, right? It's undisclosed location. Let's just say it's on some federal land.
Okay.
And so we go, we all meet up and we're getting all our stuff unpacked out of the vehicles and we're getting ready to go hike in. And this gentleman comes hiking out of the woods and he's carrying this big stone. And he's, and I hear him talking to the guys and he's like, hey, y'all know anything about dragons? The guys are kind of like, yeah, we know about dragons, you know, but they were not so interested. But I was like, hey, I know about dragons because I knew where he was going with it. And he said, well, hey, this is a dragon's wing. And I was like, oh, really? He was like, well, you've heard about petrified dragons before, right? And I said, yeah, of course. You know, and I said something about Med Fossil University. And he said, yeah, I've watched Med Fossil University. He goes, well, I've been coming out here for a while. He said, and right on this trail over here, if you hike down so far, there's a dragon and you're going to hike right over its wing. And I was like, oh, no way. No way. There's actually a petrified dragon out here. He said, yeah, he actually had a brush in his hand. I have a picture of of him holding this thing. And he's got a brush in his hand where he's been going out there and brushing off the dragon.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, what was the trip though? Was that when we walked?
You didn't hear about this, did you, T?
Oh, yeah, okay. My bad, man. So when we're walking in, I didn't see it. But when we're walking out, that's like, oh, God, there's a tail.
Yeah.
Really?
Ew. There's the spot. Oh,
yeah. So you can really see it, huh?
How big? Yeah, how big is
to me, it was about, how like, what well, was like 50 feet?
I'd ride it. Dude, I'd ride on Game his of back. Thrones.
That's kind of exactly. large to forget, bro. Why didn't you tell your boy?
Because I was worried about the heat. Like, I was telling about exhausted. The graveyard we went in. We actually ran into, abandoned graveyard.
Wow.
How old are they? Could you tell how old it was as far as like the tombstones?
There was Revolutionary War soldiers buried. Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's probably older than that.
How deep in the trail do you guys think you were there?
It was not deep at all. It was like right when you go in.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow. So, all right. You guys discovered a dragon. Want to check that off the
dragon.
Book. Yeah, I want to discover
in Alabama, the Alabama dragon.
Bama dragon, yeah.
It's got Bama dragon.
Dip in its mouth.
Operation Bama dog turned into Operation Bama dragon.
Yeah. Bama dragon.
Yeah.
So, you guys go down there hunting the dog, man. What turned up with that?
Okay, so when we went there, one of the operators, Brian, and his dad, they actually just went out there just camping, and they had a crazy experience out there. So he was like, dude, he's telling me about it. I'm like, hey, let's get the guys. Let's go back and check it out. He's like, okay. So a lot of the guys couldn't go because of scheduling issues. So I told Jessica too. I was like, hey, let's go. So it was just me, you, BX, Brian, and his dad. And so we got there. We hiked in. God. How many?
It was a long way, and it was 125 degrees again. It was like about
5-6 miles, something like that, hiked in. And we were just done. So he's like, all right, we got to the spot. I'm like, dude, you're killing us. So
it was uphills both ways.
Yeah. Uphills both ways, no shoes. No.
in the heat, not snow this time.
So we got there, and we set up camp and stuff, and like exactly in the spot of where he had his encounter at. So we just set up camp, just chilling out. Nothing was going on. And he's like, okay, when it starts to get dark, that's when things come out. I was like, yeah, of course. So it was, I think you were laying on your hammock.
We were hammock camping.
Yeah, we're cryptid burritos, basically. So she was in her hammock, and we were hearing something pacing. And this leads to the little juvenile footprint we found. So we're hearing something pacing, kind of speed walking, but stopping. Is it at, man? We can't see it. So we're just listening, waiting. They got their rifles out. I'm chilling. My buddy BX is behind me, and I hear it. So I just take off running, pistol out running, and not realizing who's got my six. They all back there. I was like, hey. So I was trying to flush it out to go that way. That way Brian and his dad can have a beat on it, right? We hear it running. All of a sudden, it just stops. Where the heck did it go? I don't know. So I walk back, and they're over there with the rifles. They're like, dude, where is it at? We heard it running towards us. Where is it at? I don't know.
Oh, I heard the running.
Yeah.
Definitely heard the running.
Jessica's like, what was that?
What just happened? Well, I thought that you guys, I heard that y'all were chasing something, but it almost sounded like there was some, like somebody fell or like somebody did like a screeching halt or something. I just heard like a lot of commotion.
Yeah.
I thought there was something bad going on.
Well,
okay. I was missing out on the action laying in my hammock. So, yeah.
And then that happened. And then later on at night, she was at the wood line edge, just kind of in the woods looking. And so was I. And we're just kind of listening. Nothing much. And then everybody kind of camped out, went to sleep. So I was up doing fire watch. And so was BX. And then Brian got up to make some coffee. This was about 2 a.m. And then we're in the middle of this park, mind you, deep in this park, right? Next thing I know, I hear this jet engine. All three of us do hear this jet engine far away. And it's getting closer and closer and closer until it's right on us. And it's so loud. We're having to yell at each other and close our ears. Like, what the freak is that? Have our flashlights up, looking around. It does that for 15 seconds loud and just cuts off.
Is this nighttime?
Nighttime. Yes. It just cuts off. And I'm looking at my watch. Do I got missing time? What's going on? No? Okay, that was weird. And BX was like, dude, what the freak was that? I don't know. Brian's like, eh. Drinking his coffee, goes back on his hammock.
Jeez, dude. Let me know when it's time to cook breakfast.
Yeah, so, and then, you know, she was asleep and then his dad was asleep and he got up and we're like, did you guys hear anything? They're like, nope. We're like, okay, that was meant for us, I guess. I don't know.
Who didn't hear?
She didn't hear.
I was sleeping.
And then Brian's dad didn't hear anything. Yeah.
And where are they located compared to you?
We're literally.
We're like.
So basically, I'm right here. Jessica's right there.
So like.
Okay.
Like
and her, his dad was right here.
Yeah, and they didn't hear it.
They didn't hear a single thing.
You heard it.
Yeah,
and who else heard it?
BX and Brian. They heard
BX and Brian.
It was, we were holding our ears like, what is that, dude?
And you guys are yelling to each other because you can't hear.
Yeah, what is that?
They don't hear a thing.
No.
Dude.
And then it goes for 15 seconds and it cuts off. And we're like,
okay, that's wild. That reminds me of the meadow because of how when they walked into the cube, the environment changed.
It did.
That is very interesting. I don't know what to make of that. I'm not saying that like a portal came upon you, but there's definitely a shift between your understanding of what was going on around you and theirs. Like there was this
like a bubble or something. Like you're in something that.
Yeah, because when it was going on, I was looking at the vegetation, see if it was wind. Nothing.
Your state of existence was different than hers at that time.
I guess.
That's wild.
But you know what else? Okay, so I've had incidences like this happen before, you know, like in the meadow. I was at home the exact same time, exact same night, exact same everything of that when the portal opened. I had gone home right before that happened. So I wasn't in the portal when it happened. I was at home. And I had just gotten home from being in the woods. So my son was 3 years old at the time. He was happy to see me. I was in the kitchen making dinner. His dad was with him I was in the living room on the elliptical machine. It's real fancy and everything, I know. But my son was on the elliptical and his dad was videoing him on the cell phone. And I got called into the living room. He said, hey, you need to come see this. His dad was holding up his cell phone, videoing my kid on the elliptical. And I see these lights flying around the room, but I think it's a moth. That's like my first thought is like, oh, those are bugs, you know? And I say that on the video. You can hear me say it. And my son goes, mom, ball, mom, ball. And I'm looking and there's these lights, these balls of light, two of them all around my son's head. His dad is filming them. I can see them with my eyes. My son can see them with his eyes. But his dad could not see them at all, except for through the screen on his phone.
Mm.
Okay, so, and eventually the lights shot towards his phone and it cut his phone off, completely powered it down. Wow. Now that showed me, and that was the exact same time the portal was happening in the meadow. Okay, ooh, and so somebody asked me, I forgot who said this. They said, what if those orbs were Tim and Bob? They had gone into the portal.
That was me, I think. When I
was that you?
To
them, yeah. That was you, that's right. Okay, and I had never thought about that before because it was almost the exact same moment.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So what you just referred to is a conversation, episode 670, Weaponized Portals, you were on with me. And then while we're at it, episode 617, The Meadow Project was with Trey. He came on and talked about The Meadow Project itself. Both are heater episodes. I recommend, if you haven't listened to it yet, go ahead and check it out, people. The idea that realm shifting, let me get off my Instagram here so people don't see that. But
the idea of realms shifting and people around you not having the same experience is, it's something to worth exploring mentally moving forward with investigations that all of us do, because I'm starting to think that that happens more than we've ever understood and expected. It's just, we are now coming around to the idea of having the language to convey. And so before, it was like something really bizarre happened. We're not going to talk about it because we don't know how to describe it. Mm-hmm. And now we got these crazy podcasters talking about portals and jumping through portals and fighting Dogman with a toothpick. And they're just like, okay, these guys are crazy. We can talk about that. And so they, you know, like, I think things are changing and it allows these things to be talked about more. And I think during these investigations, being aware of the realm shifting, because like, I think we're all I think we're all in the same level of these things probably are coming in and out of some kind of dimension.
Yeah, interdimensional.
Not that they're always existing in other dimensions, but I definitely think that they have these abilities. And if that's the case and you're hunting these things, you might as well consider yourself a portal hunter as well.
Yeah.
You know?
And, oh, for sure.
All right. Put that on my resume.
There you go.
You know, that's the portal in the meadow is not the only portal that my team's experience. Mm. That's the only one that's been talked about.
Really?
And actually, I'm on four different teams with Cryptid Warfare. I'm on four different research teams. And my first research team, Enigma Research Group, we mainly are kind of based out of North Georgia. And there was an incident one weekend where one of the same guys, Tim, that went into the portal in the meadow, he experienced a portal in North Georgia too. Now, it's interesting because Tim was a physicist and had a very interesting background. I'm not going to get into it. I don't know a whole lot about his background. Okay. But anyways, it made me wonder, you know, was he targeted? Mm. Was he targeted? But that's just my thought on that. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take this back like maybe 45 minutes to an hour. In the beginning of this conversation, you said that you know of people who are meant for higher. They do this. This is what they do, right? Mm. And we talked about agency type stuff as well. Is there anything that we can put on the table for discussion point on that? Or is it really kind of low key?
Maybe not the ones that are in the,
sorry, shaking his head.
I'm sure there's private. There's like more. There's probably some equally private
mercenary
stuff like mm-hmm. that,
yeah.
Which
yeah.
I don't know any of them. So,
well, I mean, I can touch on it a little bit because I am not that person, so I don't know. I can only tell you what I've been told.
This person told me first.
Okay.
Yeah, I was told firsthand by someone who says. And I believe him. He's been contracted to do critter control, is what I call it. Critter control. And he's even told me the different types of weapons they use. And then as soon as they take the body of this dogman. I mean, if you go back and, I don't know.
They got the chemical makeup of jumping in and out of portals.
Well, they do. Well, they say that there could be a cryptid or dogman breeding program in the United States. And they are used as assets. And I talk about this pretty often over on my channel. We talk about government assets. You know, the government, and I hate saying government because I don't think it's just like our government. I think it's like agencies of some kind that are using, that are utilizing cryptids. They're using cryptids
do their work.
For kidnapping, for assassinations for you name it. And I was told by a good friend of mine who came on my show this past week. He said he's got some insider information. He said, don't you ever talk about killing a dogman. He said, because they'll come and get you. Because the majority of them that are out there right now, I'm not going to say majority, I'm going to say at least half, I think more, are government assets. They're not natural, organic dogmen that came from the earth or wherever they come from.
So, two things. All right.
One, we had Nathan Reynolds on the show not too long ago, and he talks about this. He comes from an elite family, and he's basically blowing the whistle on his own family. He sat in that chair. He's coming back in on Monday for another round.
That's a good one.
And, that's a fantastic episode.
And he talks about these farms where they're growing these giant wolves, and it's wild. But so yes, but also there's a guy that will be on show eventually. He's a trucker and he's all over the place. Last time he was in Knoxville, we had a snowstorm. We couldn't get to the studio. I was so angry because this. So it's the guy from the conference.
I remember.
Yes. Yeah. So there's.
Oh, you told me about that guy.
Yes. There's a guy, Joe. People know his story now. He's been on several podcasts, but he sat down at the conference and I was there when he first told this story.
You and I were right there sitting next to each other.
He sat down with us and he tells us a story. And since then he's been on all these other shows. And I told Joe, I was like, listen, man, since you've been on all these shows, when I have you on my show, it has to be in person. And I want to dig on this.
Raw.
You know what I mean?
Raw,
like we're not going to be like, oh, I'm running out of Zoom time on my subscription. No. Like we're going to go hard on this eye to eye. But long story short, he was in Michigan fixing his brake lights or his airline on his trailer one night. He's on an incline where he stopped. He fixes the airline, gets back in, starts going up the hill, full load. I think he said it was like 80,000 pounds. So you're only going like 25 miles an hour, if that, going up the hill, trying to get some gears going. He looks in his mirror, as a good trucker would do, and he sees this thing running up on the passenger side of his vehicle. He said it was a giant upright running dog that was so tall, it had a duck in underneath to look in the window at him when it came up next to the cab. As a former trucker, I can tell you, he was more than likely, when he was driving, his head was probably sitting at about 9 feet in the air while he was driving. And this thing had a duck down to look at him. So this thing was probably about 10 to 12 feet tall. It ducks down to look in the window. I don't remember. Do you remember what kind of gun it was?
Yeah, it was. I think it was a 44 Magnum.
He pulls it out, blows its face off.
Hits it right in the eye socket.
He
drops it.
And turns the truck around because he was planning on going down and running the thing over. and there was already a car there pulled over. He pulls over. He slows down. He says, "You all right?" And they said, "Yeah, there was a giant bear here. And another one came and drug it off.
Yeah.
And he's like, that ain't no bear. And like if looking back at it and with what you just said, I wouldn't be surprised if those people, that was their asset. And they were there to figure out what was going on with their asset and recover it. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
They're chipped. I've been told they're chipped.
For sure.
Potentially some of them are collared, but they're closely monitored. There's not one moment where somebody does not know where all of them are. I've been told.
I heard too, they actually, some of them wear vests. Mm-hmm. To keep them in control if they get out of line, they zap.
Like a shock collar, but it's a vest.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine the first time you ever see a dog, man? It's wearing a freaking vest.
A chest rig. I'm like, buddy, where'd you get that?
I'm like, yo, witness the jackpot. This ain't no just, I stumbled across a crypto. I stumbled across a weapon, man. We're going to kill it.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. I heard you get into big trouble. I'm just saying.
T-section.
Yeah. We're kidding.
I'll take the chances. I'm on record already. They already know. I'm out there to kill the freaking thing.
You're definitely on a watch list. For sure. Probably all of us.
This is a fantastic conversation. Yeah.
You just want a claw for a necklace, don't you?
I don't even know what I'm going to do with it once I kill it. I'm just like, yo, let's just see if it bleeds. You know, like, this was a fantastic conversation, guys. Wow. Some fun stuff.
Yeah, we got to go on a hunt together, man.
I would love to. Before we get out of here, I want everybody to sound off where you're from and give people where they can follow you at. I want you guys to have as much exposure as possible. Let's start with you, T.
My name is T. I'm part of the Crypto Warfare Operations. I don't have any social media because that's all Andrew. And here in Tennessee, hanging out with Tony Merck, man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm Jessica Jones. I am also known as the Cryptid Huntress. I'm part of Cryptid Warfare as well. I can be found on my website, thecryptidhuntress.com, but please go over to my YouTube channel, subscribe. It's the Cryptid Huntress. You can find me at the Cryptid Huntress everywhere on Twitter or X. I'm Huntress Jessica. And thanks for having us over here today, Tony. Absolutely. This has been fun.
I'm glad you came.
Right on, man. Hey, guys, my name is Drewski. You can find me over at Instagram, Facebook, all that underneath the Cryptid Warfare podcast. And you can also hit me up on Gmail, cryptidwarfare@gmail.com. You can go online, cryptidwarfare.com. Yeah, just hit us up, man. We're there. Help awesome. You guys out.
Awesome. And William, get your butt over here and plug yourself real quick.
Come here, Will.
I'm William from The Permaculture Consultant. If you need help with your farm or homestead, then hit me up at thepermacultureconsultant@gmail.com or YouTube. Same name. Thanks, man.
Wonderful, wonderful. This is a fantastic, what?
One thing, one of the guys, okay, I'm going to give a shout out to Larry Sharp.
You What's up, give him Larry? A shout
out, Larry? All right, that was it. That's all I got.
The politician?
Negative. No, Larry.
Oh, man. Well, I appreciate you guys coming in and stuff. And I hope everybody enjoyed this episode because I certainly did. If you did enjoy the show, please share the show. I don't care where or how you share the show. Just share the show. That's the best thing you can do to help the show grow. Share the show. And just remember, friends, the elites don't want you to know this, but you could just convert to Christianity and live forever. Talk to you later.
Bye. Amen.
Bye.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.